If you're a guest with us this morning, we do ask that you take one of the connection cards. In just a few minutes, ushers are going to be coming by, and you can just place it in the offering basket, or you can take it back to the kiosk. What we do ask for is just some accurate information, a name, and at least a cell number. What we're going to do is reach out to you by text and text you and tell you how much we appreciate you being with us in our worship service today. And we promise that we're not going to continue to text you to ask if you're coming back to church. All we're going to do is reach out to you. But what it does, you say, well, Pastor, why not just send a letter? Why do you do it text? It's because we want a private communication where you could simply take your cell phone and say, you know what, Pastor, I didn't understand something that happened in service. I didn't understand a scripture that you quoted. Can you, you know, it gives me and you a private opportunity for us to speak together. And that's the reason we do that. So please, if you're a guest with us today, please fill out at least that portion and you can hand it in. In just a few moments, we're about to receive our tithes and offerings. And a lot of times, if especially guests are wondering, well, what happens? You know, are they after my money? No. But what I can tell you is this, is that when we worship in our tithes and offerings, the offerings go outside the boundaries of this building, and we get to preach the gospel with both words and deeds. We were able to minister to a family yesterday grieving that had a loved one pass. It's because of generosity. I want you to pay attention to the screens in just a moment, because your generosity helped make Man Camp possible. And I want you to see some of the results of Man Camp.
Turn away from you, too afraid to let my heart show, like I'm running from a shadow. So I'm here, broken, your arms hold me, and now
Fort Myers Beach for a weekend, unplug from their cell phones, and begin to teach them a little bit about what it means to be a man. We had multiple sessions and Bible studies about what it meant to be a man of God. And we got to teach them a couple of skills. We got to teach them how to check the car oil, how to change a tire, and also how to tie a tie. And of course, as you see, we had to have a lot of team competitions involved, because everything for men is a competition. So it was a bunch of fun, but it was a great time for us. And I remember when I was about 13 or 14, it was a camp like this that I attended where I experienced God for the first time. And I can tell you for sure there was a couple of young men that experienced God for the first time in a very real way. So it was a blessing and a mighty, mighty blessing. So thank you. So we want to say thank you, City Gate, for all of your generosity, all of your prayers, all your support that we're able to facilitate a camp like this. This is just a lot of kids' first time even leaving, going to the beach, and just unplugging and actually learning what it means to be a man of God and seeing what it means to be a man of God. So thank you once again for all your generosity. And also, we have another announcement as well that we are having on July the 19th. We're having an all-day event, and it's for the youth. Me and Pastor Alex, like I told first service, we're a little closer to 35 than we are to 25. And so the all-nighter isn't going to happen this year. We're going to need a little bit of rest. But we are doing an all-day event. So it's on July the 19th. It costs $15. We're going to be going to Sunsplash. We're going to be having food and a bunch of fun. And then it's going to end at the City Gate family event at the skating. So if you have youth that want to attend, we're going to be having sign-ups in the youth room and also in the activity center after service. So, but like I said, all of these things that we're doing allows us to facilitate all these different ministries for the youth and in the city. So at this time, if the ushers could come forward to receive the offering, we'll pray and we'll receive this thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we just thank you for what your Spirit is doing in our hearts, Father. Just breaking our wills, allowing us to submit to you that we may see what you've blessed us with, Father, just the provision and the care. And we're able to give this back to you, and you're able to multiply it the way you did those loaves and fish and do a mighty work around this city, Father. We thank you for using our hands and our feet and our energy, Father God, and our faith in you to do a work around here. Father, I believe that there's people here today that are seeking you in a real, real way. So we ask that this offering that we're giving is not only just us putting money into a basket, but that they can see that work being done and your hand upon it here today. Father, we love you and we give you this offering with our heart. Have your way with you. We praise you.
I get to continue on the series called Grow. One of the most important series of 2017, in my opinion. Because what we wanted to do is we wanted to facilitate a series of messages based around the concept of Matthew 13, and that is the parable of the sowing of the four types of soil. In that parable, Jesus is telling us that the Word of God is the seed, and that it is sown in all different types of lives and all different conditions of the heart, because the soil in the parable is the hearts of man. And a lot of times we take those different types of soils and we think that that's a group of people, and maybe it is, but sometimes you find out that some of those types of soils are within your own heart. And we started with the first soil. It was the path, and the path is the hard ground around the field. And it's where the tractors turned around. In Jesus' day, it was where the animals and the people walked. And it becomes so compact that when the seed ended up in that portion of soil, it stayed on top with absolutely no penetration. And so what Jesus tells us in that parable, he says, because the seed was laying on the top, the birds came and ate it. And so a lot of the times we think, well, we've got a bird problem. We've got to stop them birds from eating the seed of God's word in our lives. But really, it wasn't a bird problem at all. It was a position problem. See, the Word of God was positioned on top of the surface, which made it vulnerable for the birds to eat. Had it been underneath the surface, the birds couldn't have got to it. And so we find out that Jesus goes even further to interpret and say, you know what? The reason that the seed was on top is because people did not have an understanding of God's word, which means that discipleship and teaching is so important, because if we don't disciple to maturity, then we find out that our lives can become vulnerable to the enemy, because the enemy was the birds and they would come and steal. And at City Gate, we've grown accustomed that almost every single week, there may be 6 Sundays in a whole year where somebody doesn't make a profession of faith. So we see them come to the altar over and over and over again, almost on a weekly basis, and that's our strength. We allow God's presence to draw people unto Him. Where we become weak is where we don't take those people from the altar and move them systematically through a maturing process that allows the seed to penetrate the soils of their heart and allow the maturity to come forth. And that's something I'm going to preach about today. Because to mature one in the faith, you've got to go to the second part of that parable, and you've got to understand that there is stony ground as well. And stony ground literally means that there's areas in the field that underneath the surface of the field looks fantastic. It looks like soil that could grow anything. It's that fertile soil, rich in nutrients, and all of a sudden the seed finds itself a home right there underneath the surface. But a seed in that type of environment does what seeds do, and it begins to grow. And what happens is there's growth that comes forward or up, and that's where you see the little green shoots. But at the same time, simultaneously, that seed is expanding a root system to go deeper. And the Bible says that in the second part of this parable, that there is areas in the field that had rocks underneath the surface of the ground. And that's what we talked about last week. And we talked about when there are stones underneath the surface of our heart, then what happens is the root system can only go so far, and it hits the stone, and it leaves what looks like a harvest. Can you imagine the disappointment people have sometimes in their walk of faith? Because the Holy Spirit is revealing to them there's a stone underneath the surface, but yet they don't know how to interpret that. And so what happens is this green shoot, let's use corn as an example. These little green stalks of corn start shooting up, and the farmer has no reason not to believe, man, we're going to have a big bunch of corn soon. The problem is that the reason that root can't go very deep, the stalk on top of the soil is tender because it doesn't have a good root system. And then all of a sudden the sun comes up. And in the parable, Jesus says, this is the tribulations. These are the trials. These are the persecution that arises because of the word of God. And when people meet opposition, the sun scorches it and it withers away. Look at Matthew chapter 13. I believe it's verses 20 and 21. And it says, as for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. And yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Now I want to add two more verses out of the book of Romans. And I want to read those to you because I want to put them into context today. But if some of the branches were broken off and you, although a wild olive shoot, this is Paul referring to the Gentiles coming into the faith, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Let's pray. Father, I ask you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to allow me to speak on your behalf, and allow me to speak with passion and conviction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows all of us to evaluate the root system of our own life. And I give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. See, roots require 3 things: water, oxygen, and soil compaction levels low enough to allow root penetration. If all of these conditions are met, roots can grow to great depths. Under ideal soil and moisture conditions, roots have been observed to grow more than 20 feet deep. So all of a sudden, the issue with this soil from the very beginning of the parable is all about depth. It's about going deeper. It's about getting connected to something that is going to anchor your soul. It is about facing the challenges and the trials of life and the heat of the scorching sun of those persecutions and those tribulations and life just happening. It is in those moments that the believer has to have a root system that is deep. Now, can you imagine some of the heritage that we have here as a benefit being a part of CityGate? You've got different people from different backgrounds, different cultures, and different generations. The average age of our first service is probably 74. Can you imagine that I've had the privilege? Can you imagine, maybe you're a young couple and you're experiencing those challenges that happen early on in your marriage. You know, kind of like those first 5 years, let's say. See, Michelle is a firm believer. Now, if you have problems with this, guys, email Michelle. Don't email me. Well, that's a dangerous thing. Don't email Michelle. Email me. But she says that she believes, based upon her experience with me, that all men take to at least 38 years of age to mature. She says, you're a man boy until about then. She said, David, you're like a wine. You needed time to breathe a little bit. And, you weren't as smooth as you are now back then. But can you imagine all of us remembering maybe the first 5 to 7 years of our relationship where you get in those moments and in the best of relationships you want to say, hey, is this going to work out? I've had the privilege of standing behind this pulpit and celebrating anniversaries, especially in our first service, of 50, 60, and 70 years. Wouldn't you like to know a root system of, hey, what happened when, for 70 years you hung in this thing and you made it work and it wasn't always rosy? And what happens is that your root system has to get deep enough to withstand some of the climate changes and some of life, of those storms that blow up out of nowhere. Going deep requires the rocks underneath the surface to be removed. The tree and the branches are totally dependent on the root system. And this is something that I really want to take my time and teach for just a moment. That's why I threw the passage in the book of Romans in there, because Paul is saying to us in that passage in Romans chapter 11, he is telling us, hey, don't get your focus on you. See, a lot of times we misinterpret worship because we have preferences in the way we experience worship. But worship was never intended to be about you. It was to benefit you, but it's to be about Him. That's why in Psalms 103 it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. It goes into the next verse and again reiterates, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and forget not all of His benefits, and the one that heals all my diseases. We see the benefit coming from our focus not being about us. And as I preached it in first service, I was reminding them, worship is not about the style of music you enjoy. It is about the one you are singing to. It is about the God of the universe that is taking the time to honor and be faithful to His word. As you start to sing in your car, He shows up. You would think He would want to go to a cathedral with stained glass, maybe the Vatican, where there's a whole city, or stained buildings with stained glass windows. But you know what? He would prefer to get right in the passenger seat of your car as you begin to worship and reveal Himself to you over and over again. But so many times we get the focus of worship on who we are. And Paul is saying, hey, I know that Jesus told you you're the branches and He's the vine, but be careful not to focus on the branch, because it's the most important part of the branch. Of the plant is not what you can see, it's what's underneath the soil. He says it's who you're connected to that really matters. And all of a sudden we have this Paul warning us. He said, don't be arrogant because you're a branch. He says, because you wouldn't even be alive without roots. And so roots must be something that is very important. And growing deep roots allows the tree to plant, or the plant to anchor itself in a position that allows the storms of life to come, and it stays strong. So the first thing that has to happen is the root has to go deep. And most of the time we refer to this type of root as a tap root. And can you imagine going 20 feet deep in faith? Past the surface, past the inches, past the 2 or 3 feet, but allowing yourself to continue to allow the Word of God to penetrate and drive the anchor of your soul deep. Now, many of you have been with me now for over 15 years. And you know some of my cliches in my messages. You know some, you know, you can preach them as well as I can. You've heard them for 15 years. You've heard just about every story. But one of the things that I say over and over again is that there's people that come up to me sometimes and say, I believe God can heal everything. And I said, yep, except one thing. And they look at me shocked, like, God can't heal something? And I said, well, I don't know if he can. He just chooses not to. He don't heal stupid. You ever notice that? You just wear stupid. You got to wear it out. It's like a bad shirt. You got to just wear it out until you don't fit anymore, and then you can move on. Well, you guys know that I've grown up most of my life around the water. And I think my brother had to work today, so I can use him as an example. See, the worst thing about the condition of stupidity is that if you have an encourager to be stupid, it gets contagious. And so me and my brother, most of the time, have owned boats together. Why, you say, Pastor, do you need Jimmy to own a boat together? We can't afford one by ourselves. So it took me to over 40 years of age to have my first boat with a brand new motor. And so we always bought those used boats with those used motors, and a lot of the times they would not work properly when we went way offshore, 20 or 30 miles offshore. But the problem really wasn't in the motor. It was the two guys wanting to go fishing. Because we had such a passion for fishing that we didn't really care what the weather was like. So we would wake up and it would be storming. I hope he gets the tape. My mom and dad will get him the CD of this. And we got a little saying in the Pleasants. When you wake up and you want to go fishing and it's raining, only the strong. Those weak fishermen that only fish in the sunshine, they're not going today. And the fish are going to be out there, and we're going to get them. And we'd go out there 25 miles. And now, through wisdom of being 49, I look back at when I was 29, and I really realized that was life-threatening. But we would find ourselves out there in storms and messed up, and we would be out there, and like we were looking at each other and like, why did we come today? And now we got to worry about, can we get back? Let's pray. Let's join hands in the middle of the boat. God, can you get this boat back in? But one thing that they teach you when you're offshore and things go bad, the motor quits, the first thing you do, even if the boat is sinking, you throw the anchor. Why? Because people can find you if you're sitting still. If they look long enough and you're sitting in the same spot, they'll find you. But if you're floating and moving and you're a moving target, it's hard. You say, well, Pastor, why in the world if you're sinking do you? Because you're wanting to stay in the same place. That anchor is going to grab hold of something on the ground and you can hold on to the rope and they're going to find you. That's the importance of your faith, anchoring into something that is going to be immovable, that allows you in the times of life's challenges and storms, that you're going to be anchored to something that's not going to move. And that's why people, when they anchor their soul into things, sometimes they anchor into things and they have a root system into things that is not necessarily the thing they should be anchored to, like money, talent, professions, titles, positions. Because if you anchor your soul in what you do, when you no longer can do it, you lose your identity. That's a simple one for me to use an analogy. I used to be able to comb my hair. But if my identity was wrapped up in my Samson-like mane, that left about 20. And now at 49, there's no main left. So if you are anchoring in something you do to present yourself with an identity instead of whose you are, you will lose the facts when you can no longer do what you used to be able to do. Your identity gets swept away. And you know how many people are looking for their identity today? Because they wrapped it up and anchored it into something that was movable. And so Jesus comes in, and Paul reiterates, I think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, but we'll say the author of the book of Hebrews tells us this. So when God desired to show more convincingly to his heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. And we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of our soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Can you imagine if you allow the root systems to penetrate deep in the authority and the identity of who Jesus is as your high priest? He is unmovable. And your identity can stay strong in the midst of the storm. When the wind is blowing 1,000 miles an hour and rain is going sideways and it looks like life is falling apart at the seams, and you have nothing to hold on to but what the security of your soul is anchored into, you'll find out that by the time that the storm has blown all of its wind out and the sun has replaced the dark stormy clouds, you will find out that the faithfulness of God and the steadfastness of God will supply you every single time if you hold on to who He is and who you are in Him. Amen? But not only does... Can you imagine these trees out here? I mean, goodness gracious, Hurricane Charlie come in. Now, I wasn't pastoring in this location. I was in Southwest Florida during Hurricane Charlie. But they say at this location, it ripped the roof off. But yet that big old oak tree out there stayed. Why? Because it had something to anchor to. It was deep. But not only do roots have to be deep, but they also have to be wide. Can you imagine? Well, why does a root have to be wide? When a tree has matured, the roots can be 2 or 3 times the diameter of the top of the tree. So if the crown of the tree is 20 feet wide, its roots may reach up to 40 to 60 feet out from the trunk. Did you hear the language of a mature tree? It's not only deep, but it's very wide. Why do we need wide roots? Because it's the width of the roots that allow the moisture to be sought out. That the thing that that tree needs as much as an anchor down into the ground, not to let the wind blow it down, but it also needs the requirement of moisture and water to produce the nutrients that are needed for that tree to grow and to produce fruit. And so if you only had one taproot going straight down, the rain would have to rain on top of you to give you enough. But can you imagine if you are 60 feet wide? You say, Pastor, clear this up for me. It's getting a little muddy. See, a lot of times we go outside to the tree and we look at the beauty of the tree. And the crown of the tree, how wide and the branches are. But remember what Paul said to us? Don't focus on the branches, focus on the roots. Because underneath the surface, the thing that you can't see is bigger than the thing you can. Now let's evaluate your life. Is there more on top of the ground that people can see, or more underneath the surface of the ground that shows you whose you're connected to? You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Let's use worship for an example. Let's start with prayer and then we'll move to worship. This is where it gets a little bumpy, but this is where pastors have to go to make sure that we're getting matured. So here we go. Buckle your seatbelts. Turbulence is ahead. If the only time you pray is here, your prayer life is weak and shallow. Because most of the challenges of your faith and most of the struggles of your life and the crisis and the attacks from the enemy will not happen in this building. So if you are only praying while you are here, you need to penetrate through God's word the depth of prayer in your life to carry it with you home, because that's where most of the battles are going to occur. If the only time you Shandai, Hondai, and other eyes is here, you are going to need that more in your hallway when your teenager is going crazy and you are walking up and down the hall praying in the Holy Spirit to declare the authority of God's plan for their life. It is not here 1 hour a week that you need a prayer life. It is there where you are living. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, if the only time you sing is here, you have not really experienced what true worship is all about.
That's right, Pastor.
Because I have a flaw in my worship here. My corporate worship flaw is I can't sing. So because I can't sing, I'm subconscious of my tone deafness. And I don't want to offend those worshiping around me to get distracted by the sound coming out of my mouth and them looking at their spouse and saying, it's him. Now, I'll clap here. I'll jump here. In my mind, I'm running around this place. But I sing pretty low volume so I don't distract others. But if you only sing for the 15 minutes of music that we provide for you on Sundays, you are missing the boat. Because real worship happens when you get in the secret place, when there's nobody else around and nobody else to hear you, and you can sing and dance like nobody else is watching, because it's just you in the vision of the God of the universe and setting you in that position of Him being faithful to inhabit the praises of His people. See, if you really want to see David Pleasant worship, follow my truck around. Because I can go absolutely crazy inside the cab of my truck when I'm worshiping because nobody else is listening. And the next thing I know is I got the Holy Ghost in the cab with me saying, we've showed up. We've heard you sing. And your worship is like incense, like a sweet smell. And we've come all the way from heaven to hear you. See, that's the moment that you have to grow wide. Because if what happens in your spiritual walk only happens here, it's not enough. And Dave, if you can come, get ready to play me something softly. I've got one more little bit of those roots are going wide, searching for water. Listen to this. Jeremiah 17 and 7 and 8 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. See, when the root system is seeking out more than just the rain or the dew, and it's looking for the streams to go underneath the water and start reaching out from maybe the trees planted over here and the stream is over there by the wall. My root system should be seeking out the moisture of the stream, because if I can ever get a root to the stream according to Scripture, the year that it doesn't rain, I still produce fruit. Because the moisture is coming from the source of the river or the stream instead of from the sky. I told you there's one more little bit of turbulence. But it's something we have to investigate. See, Jesus is the water. Remember when he talked to the lady at the well? He said, hey, give me something to drink. She says, you don't have nothing to drink with. You don't have nothing to draw with. And you're a Jew asking a Samaritan to give you something to drink. He said, hey, wait a minute. You ever notice that Jesus will just set you straight? Especially when pride gets involved, like she was going, I got a bucket, you don't have a bucket. And he said, hey, man, if you really knew who I was, you'd be asking me to give you something to drink, because I am the source of living water. And if you drink from me, you'll never thirst again. But then it also says that the Holy Spirit is the water. Says that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he speak of the Spirit of God, So you have different types of water or rain, sources of moisture that your roots should be stretching out for to receive the necessary requirements for that tree to bear fruit. You say, Pastor, why can't we focus on the branches? If I ask you what the purpose of the branches is, a lot of you would answer incorrectly. You would say, according to Scripture, we're supposed to bear fruit. No. No, because a branch in itself has no ability to produce fruit. No, and we're going to get to it. We're going to actually preach a whole couple of weeks on this later on in the series. But the Bible says that the branch's responsibility is to stay connected to the vine, because inside the vine is the capabilities. The vine has the capabilities of producing fruit through the conduit of the branches. And so if the branch stays connected... Are you a tree planted in soil, in a field? Or are you a potted plant? See, if you walk out into our courtyard, you'll see the beauty of a potted plant. But the problem with a potted plant is this: it's totally dependent upon somebody coming and bringing it water. Its root systems are contained inside the bucket that prevent it from stretching out and finding water for itself. Do you know how many times over 25 years of ministry I've heard somebody say, I just need to get fed? How do you get fed at your house? Do you have a magic refrigerator that when you eat it just automatically replenishes? You get a steak out of the freezer, one goes back in. See, at the Pleasant House, we got to go to the grocery store. We got to go get it. We got to send out the roots to go get it. And a lot of times you're praying and standing still and saying, God, rain on me right here. And he says, the stream's over there. But if you'll go through the process of allowing the root systems of your faith to grow strong enough, you can penetrate the soil if you just keep moving the rocks out of the way until you can reach over there to the river. And there you don't have to have, you don't, you say, it is time to grow up in our faith. You know, I'm going to be the one that said, I hope, that speaks the truth that sets you free. No longer do you have to live vicariously through a man or a woman that stands behind this desk and goes into the presence of God and comes back and tells you what he is like and what the sweetness of his water is like. You don't have to live vicariously, because you can go for yourself. You can drink of the water for yourself. Your roots can go out there and not worry about another story by Pastor David, but you can have a story of your own. Have you tapped into, have you gotten out of the pot? Or are you just waiting for somebody else to bring you another spiritual drip of water? And you're always hoping they return. When what you really need to do is get connected to the artesian well of the Holy Spirit that will never, ever run dry. I thought about our altar service today, because this isn't a jump up and shout type of sermon. I think it's been encouraging, but it's not one of those goosebump types of sermons. It's not like I took the chart from the book of Revelation and said, this is the day Jesus is coming back. But it's just as important. What we're going to do in just a moment is, I sought the Lord. And JJ texted me during first and second service, said, hey, we're going to be in youth today. You know, can you handle altar? I said, you know what? I think I can. We're going to pray corporately right here for the needs of people in our congregation. But you may not get out of your seat today, because the real altar call is not for this building. I wonder how many of you would respond to making a commitment. And deciding that you're going to really worship alone with God. that you're going to worship and sing like nobody else is watching, and find out what it feels like when the Holy Spirit rains on you instead of raining on somebody else. And then they're telling you about it, and you feel dry and frustrated, and you're mad with God because they got wet and you didn't. You are going to pray in the secret place this week. It says, Father, I need more than just around the altars of a building. I need you in my life on Tuesday. And I don't even know how to do this. I hope you wake up late at night. Maybe you're a little nervous about praying out loud and you want to do it in privacy. Get up about 2. Your spouse will stay asleep. And just start walking around the house. He's awake. And start having the conversations. God, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that this is going to happen, and I'm afraid that that's going to happen. Sometimes it feels like you're a million miles away, and I pray, and I don't know that things are happening as fast as I really want them to. So me and you need to have a good talk. You ever made some time for him to talk back? Wonder what's going to happen this week in your home and in your car if you let the roots out of the pot. Because we need roots, because in the next few weeks I'm going to talk about the storms of temptation. Have you ever heard a sermon? I don't know that I've ever preached one, and I don't know that I've ever heard one that teaches you how to prepare for the storm of temptation. We say temptation, but how do you fight it? Roots.